Mark and Walt in the morning on Sunny 101.9. Good morning. I'm Walt Lindelow in the studio with Michigan Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist on his UP tour. Good morning, sir.
Happy to be here.
Good to have you here with us. We wanted to have you in to come in and tell us a little bit about the tour. So let's start right there. You've been visiting, high schools. You've been visiting higher education places and businesses. What has it been? How's it been so far with the tour?
It's fantastic to be back up in the Upper Peninsula. I was actually here during the campaign a year ago today. And so it's great to come full circle and see some of the same folks and meet some new people. The businesses that I've visited in the UP, in Marquette, in Houghton County as well, have been absolutely incredible and inspiring. Just true marvels of engineering. And they show the type of innovation that's coming from not just the Upper Peninsula, but really the entire state of Michigan. It's why we're one of the leaders and have more engineers than any place else in the country.
Is that part of the overall sort of economic development message of Michigan right now, is to focus on things like engineering, skilled trades, that kind of work to create and make things for the future?
We want to focus on the fact that we have talent in every part of the state of Michigan, and we want to do everything to create the infrastructure to develop that talent. So we want to invest in education from kindergarten all the way through college for people who don't want to go to a four-year institution. We want there to be clear pathways for the skilled trades, because we need people who can make things and who can fix things. And we have a history of that in Michigan. And by really harnessing that talent, businesses will know that they can thrive here because they'll have the people to make their businesses go.
One of the questions I wanted to ask you with has to do with this Thriving Cities meeting you had yesterday in Marquette. You met with some of the young professionals in our community, but also this Thriving Cities program is part of a statewide effort. Tell me about that, and where does Marquette fit into it?
That's right. The governor and I are facilitating conversations in 17 cities across the state about how we improve the quality of life in cities. A lot of people have chosen to live in cities for a lot of different reasons. And we have a diverse set of cities that are big and small and semi-rural and everything in between. And so we wanted to come to Marquette because this is an important city in Michigan to talk to people about what it means to improve quality of life in some key areas: life for kids in cities, generational economic opportunity, affordable and available housing, environmental quality and justice, and transportation and mobility. And so we had a really rich conversation about all those issues and about how we can work together on a policy level to change things for the better.
One of the things that Marquette has been making a name for itself is it's a location that is chosen, especially by those in the location independent industries, people that as long as they have the technology at their disposal, they can go wherever they want. They're choosing to come to Marquette. Marquette's a little bit different than some of the other more urban locations within the city. We're far away from a lot of different things. What can the state do to help with Marquette's continuing role as a place that people choose to be at to do business?
The biggest thing is infrastructure. You know, one of the things I've been having a lot of conversations about while I've been here up in Marquette is talking about access to the internet, broadband internet access, and the infrastructure to support high quality, high speed internet for people enables them to choose Marquette if they can work remotely. And one of the things I'm very inspired by is the work that's coming out of Northern Michigan and the Education Access Network, right, from NMU, really innovating and using the spectrum that the university has as a unique asset to bring connectivity to communities across the Upper Peninsula and across the Northeast Lower Peninsula. It's very inspiring, and we're excited to support that at the state level. And I know that I'm really want to just champion that everywhere I go in the UP.
Lieutenant Governor, I wanted to ask you about the current situation with the budget in Lansing. We're hearing a lot about it. Where is it? What kind of update can you give us right now as terms of some of the continuing negotiations?
Yeah, well, in response to the broken budgets that we received from the legislature without negotiation, we had to take action to make sure that we could protect public safety and to keep the government running, frankly. You know, the budgets we received did things like gut the Department of Technology Management and Budget, which led to Social Security numbers would be put at risk for people who are getting government services because our cybersecurity was underinvested in. These are the kinds of things that we had to fix. And so by responding to that the way that we did, we got to work immediately after that, the next day, working on a supplemental budget, which is the next step in the process. Then the next day, we had a meeting with the legislative leaders, the leaders of all four legislative caucuses in the governor's office. And that's when the negotiation started. And we're going to continue to be at the table to negotiate budgets, because that's how this is supposed to happen. You know, folks in Marquette are lucky to have Sarah Cambenzi as their state representative, who's also going to be working hard to ensure that those negotiations are fair and that she's advocating for the people here in Marquette. But we're, you know, happy that the Republicans are at the table, and we're going to see what we're going to work out.
Are the Republicans at the table? We're hearing from some of the leadership, at least in reports, that they're saying that they consider the budget to be done.
Well, they came to the meeting last Thursday. We expect them to show up to the next one. And as long as we're at the table talking, then we're negotiating.
What was the goal of the vetoes that the governor put into effect?
To make sure that we could protect public safety and to keep the government functioning. It's our responsibility as the executive branch. I mean, to give you another example of these unnegotiated broken budgets, the Department of Corrections. There are a lot of people who have tethers, who are under electronic monitoring. And unfortunately, 4,000 of those people would have had to come off of those tethers by the end of the year. We wouldn't be able to keep an eye on where they are. And that is a direct result of the Republicans choosing not to fund that program and putting public safety at risk. So we had to respond to move money around so these departments could actually function and do the thing that we needed to do to protect public safety and to keep the government running.
I'm sure as you're here in the Upper Peninsula, you're hearing from some of the smaller, very rural school districts that are affected by the vetoes, tourism-related businesses with the veto that cuts the Pure Michigan funding. What's the word that you're telling them? What are you hearing from them, and how are you responding?
This everything is on the table for negotiation now that we're back working on the supplemental. You know, unfortunately, the school aid budget, when we talk about that we were sent, had millions of dollars of earmarks, these vendor-specific lobbyist-one projects for these vendors who were unsuccessful in selling their product to school districts. School districts didn't want to buy them, so instead, they got a lobbyist to put them in the state budget. That is not how we need to fund education. The budget proposal that we put forward in March, months ago, almost 10 months ago now, that budget proposal shows our priorities. We made a once-in-a-generation investment in education. We funded Pure Michigan, but we had to make tough choices to protect public safety and to keep our government functioning because the Republicans did not negotiate and sent us a broken and fundamentally flawed budget. We had to respond, and now we're at the table to negotiate like we should have done in the first place.
So what's going to happen? What do you think? I mean, it sounds like we might be seeing more politics as usual, which is frustrating for us as we're trying to just set our budgets.
Well, I think that we are happy to have Republicans at the table. We've been waiting for it all summer. We've been waiting for their ideas on education. We've been waiting for their ideas on long-term road and infrastructure funding, and that hasn't happened, although they have promised it. They said they were going to give us a roads plan in March, April, May, June, July, August, September. It's October. We haven't seen one. So we're happy for them to be at the table now.
Michigan Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist joining us this morning for a few moments. Thanks for your time. I know you have a busy schedule, and we'll talk with you soon.
Thanks for having me.